o'clock.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Oh, MG, wouldn't you know it? A rugby league player calling out his coach, or his former coach, on Instagram.
Yeah, the plot thickens at the Tigerland with BJ Lalua doing exactly that and blaming all the woes in Tigerland on their coach. So we'll discuss that at length today.
Yeah, we are also going to cross to the US because Brock Jarvis, this rising Aussie boxing superstar who had his first win in the US over the weekend, friend of the show.
Yeah.
We had him in here all the way back in 2018. He's going to talk us through everything that he's gone through to get to the point that he is. And I'm curious to know what Las Vegas is like after a win when you got
Jeff Fenwick. Oh, you can only imagine.
Taking you out on the town.
And I've got a little surprise for you today.
Okay.
You know, we were talking about playing indoor cricket last week.
Yes.
Me, you and Charlie.
Well, you keep on talking up what a star you were in your heyday.
My power rankings today. There's three of us.
Yes.
There's eight in a indoor cricket team.
All right.
I'm going to tell you the five other players who are going to join us.
This is it.
The other cricketers who are going to join us in our indoor cricket team.
The Rush Hours indoor cricket team is going to be completed today.
Yes.
Oh, this is outstanding. I'll have us locked in at the Marrickville Nets. This will be great.
Done.
All right, but off the top.
What's cracking?
The Ben Simmons saga on the eve of the NBA has gone to another level, MG. This is Doc Rivers, the coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, speaking to the media today after he was forced to ask Ben to leave training.
He was a distraction today. I didn't think he wanted to do what everybody else was doing. And it was early. It wasn't a big deal. Just told him he should leave then. And we went on with practice. Every single moment, I'm going to give Ben a chance to join the team and be part of the team. He's under contract to be part of the team. And so that's not going to change. You know, sometimes it happens quick and guys join back in. Sometimes it doesn't. I've been in both situations and I'm fine with that. But at the end of the day, as a coach, I have to protect the team.
Well, you get the feeling it's not going to happen.
No.
Don't you? From the outside looking in, you get the feeling the Ben Simmons days in Philly are done. But I just don't know how it's all unraveled for him. You know, in the space of two or three seasons when he's obviously our best and biggest import.
Yeah.
You know, rookie of the year. Was he number one draft picked?
He was the number one draft pick.
Yep.
Rookie of the year.
Yep. Got all that happening and all of a sudden.
He's a multiple time All-Star. Two-time All-Star.
And I can only surmise that from an outside looking in that it's just gotten to his head.
So
you know, he dated a Kardashian for a while.
And she's a Jenner, but yes.
Well, there you go. But I mean, it's I keep coming back to the fact that, you know, Ben in America is, I think, instead of being that big fish in the little pond, he's a little fish in the big pond now. And I think he's trying to realise, where can I go? Where's his options to go if he doesn't play for Philly?
Well, a quick recap for those that might be new to the story. Ben Simmons, huge, multi-million, still 4 years left on his contract with the 76ers. They go out in the playoffs losing to Atlanta, and basically he gets thrown under the bus by Joel Embiid, his all-star teammate, by his coach, Doc Rivers, and they were trying to trade him last year for James Harden. Now, you can understand why he's a little bit upset with the whole situation. He's said, I'm not going back to Philly. I want to trade.
Yeah.
They've started fining him for everything he's missing. Fine gets in excess of $1 million. He says, okay, I'll come back. And now he's turned up and he's sulking it up big time
at
training.
There's a picture in today's paper, well, not the papers, but online, where all the 76ers are before the training session. Hands in. Let's go.
Yep.
Except for one person.
Ben. He's out the back, clearly not happy with the situation.
You don't want him there.
And he doesn't want to be
there. Well, so let's get on with it.
Well, this is what the great Shane Heal had to say on the situation yesterday when we spoke to him.
Mate, you're making hundreds of millions of dollars. Harden up, get yourself back there because you've got to be able to show that you can fight through it. Now, at the end of the day, he wants to get traded. They want to trade him, and this is just a stepping stone to be able to do it. But I tell you, it wouldn't be a great feeling in that locker room. It doesn't matter what they say in the press conferences. There's a lot of bad blood there.
But the difficult situation that is being created by this whole thing, Shane Hill speaking to us yesterday on the show, the longer he sits out and doesn't participate, the less other teams are going to be prepared to offer. And the Philadelphia 76ers have shown, we're not going to trade you for you know, cents on the dollar. We want value, and they can't get value if he keeps sulking at training and not playing games. And he's now been suspended by the club for their season opener against the Pelicans tomorrow.
Well, he's making a stance, but at what costs? You know, if he wants to go to an LA team like we keep saying.
I think he wants to be
He wants to be in the glitz and glamour.
Yeah.
And Well, they're all of a sudden, as you mentioned, and rightly so, well, do we want him? Do we want to get a guy so polarizing at the moment that, you know, what's it going to do to our makeup of our own team?
Who's shown he's prepared to stink up a joint to get what he wants?
Yeah, so it's a team sport. Different if it was a tennis player, which we talk about Nick Kyrgios all the time, but I think even, you know, some things that Nick does in comparison, what Shane Hill said then, like, come on, mate, you're a gifted basketballer, and you've definitely got potential.
He's got star quality. It's not even potential.
He's got star quality.
He's got room to improve, absolutely.
He hasn't had a season where he's just given it to us yet and said, you know, this is why I'm number one draft pick, and this is, you know, why I got drafted to Philly the one I did.
Coach ever ask you to leave training?
Once.
Who?
Phil Gould.
Oh, yeah. Politely?
No. We played a game, and it was against the Broncos in a semi-final. We beat them. We're about to play the prelim final against the Raiders. And we had a video session at Penrith Park. And I'd just come back from 6 weeks being out with a groin injury. So I was a little bit unfit and wasn't quite myself in the game against the Broncos. But as I said, we won. So watching the video that week, Gus kept pointing out my errors. And I said, well, I'm the only one who made a mistake. Which you don't say. Like, that's a coach.
Okay.
And this went on for about 2 or 3 minutes, and he just kept going over what I've done wrong. And I said, what are you trying to do? He said, I want you to fuck off. I said, no, you fuck off. And I got up, and he got up, and went, well, here we go. I'm going to fight the coach. So the few of the boys said, mate, we've got a big game this week against the Raiders. Come on. So I took off, went up to my mate's house, and sulked, and then Gus rang me and said, what are you doing? I said, I'll see you tomorrow.
There you go.
Just need a bit of space. We're very, very similar in a lot of ways, but also very different, me and Gussie Gould, and he got the best out of me, sometimes at a cost, his own safety.
Maybe we need to get Gus on the phone to Ben Simmons.
Well, I could think of worse.
Well, from Ben Simmons sulking it up, MG, to Joey Leilua, who's, according to his social media, he's not happy with the way his situation is being reported either.
We better be careful here.
Well,
because BJ Leilua does a lot of talking on social media, and if we even mention his name, I know yesterday he mentioned staff writers on NRL.com.
Wide World of Sports, yes. 9MSN, whatever the website is.
And he basically said, get your facts right, guys.
Yep.
Well, BJ, I'm MG. And that's Liam Flanagan.
And I might not say very much.
So if we get our facts wrong,
look,
you know where
we're just going to discuss the situation as we see it.
Of course.
But the
we
situation
are.
Is this. Joey Leilua is not happy with the way his situation is being reported in the press.
And I get it.
And the way it's being reported in the press is that he's been on an $850,000 a year contract with the West Tigers. They obviously won't be offering him a new deal.
No.
He's unemployed come November 1. His contract is up. And what is being reported is that he's been offered a train and trial deal with the West Tigers worth $1,000 a week.
Yeah.
And obviously the headline there is that they're saying, oh, the reports are it's an $800,000 a year pay cut. People click on that. That's why they've done it that way, Joey.
Of course it is.
But Joey's saying it's not true. He's saying, I've never been offered that deal, blah, 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 blah. But the talking point that we want to discuss today is that it's the comment he's made on his page that he said, by the way, and this is what he's written.
No, he's got BTW.
Yeah, BT. Sorry, yeah. I want to get it right.
Yes.
I don't want to be
BTW.
Fake newsing this.
Yes.
He's written BTW, by the way. I wouldn't play for someone that blames the team all the time. And not once himself, hashtag match. Now, I don't want to interpret Joey's words for him. That seems fairly pointed at Coach Michael Maguire.
I'll interpret it for you.
Right.
He's throwing Madge under the bus, saying that he's blaming everybody but himself for their losses.
Okay.
If I'm an interpreter in the situation.
Yep.
And look, Madge will be saying good riddance, and I think BJ will be saying good riddance.
Seems like everyone's happy.
So everyone will be happy.
Right.
So what are we talking about?
Why can't we all just get along?
Why can't we have a kiss and cuddle and walk off and skip?
Why can't we all just get along?
Let's go for lunch.
Joey, we're going to the pub. Meet us. It's your shout, though.
Sure. Oh, he's lost 800,000. He can't shout.
No, he hasn't.
Oh, no, sorry. BTW.
Revel in the spirit of the Melbourne Cup Carnival October 30 to November 6th. VRC.com.au. This is the Rush Hour Melbourne Cup Tipping League.
The horses are on the track.
Yes. Tipping's not just for football, MG. That's a good horse sound effect.
Yeah, it's one of my go-tos. It's all I can do. My impersonation of a horse going down the track.
Tipping is not just for footy season. It is for spring carnival as well. We have got ourselves a tipping league, basically, and we got 2,000 bucks up for grabs. You don't have to bet on these horses. You just have to tip them, MG.
Yeah, and in so doing, beat me and you at it.
Well, they got to beat us to get the cash. Well, you know, because I assume if we win, we get the cash.
And you said yesterday that I know a lot about it.
Yeah.
And you know nothing about it.
Well,
so follow Liam, because those that know less, know more.
I've been doing some research. I know that a horse incentivised goes all right.
Yes. Yep. Favourite for the Melbourne Cup.
Oh, okay. So it's not... Okay. There's also another one called Zaki.
Yeah, Zaki.
Yep. So I'm across horse racing now. I've looked into it.
Oh, it's the best season. It's the best time of year for horse racing, because all the best ones come out.
Yeah. So MG actually has jockey's phone numbers in his phone.
Yeah.
I know the name of two horses. You, if you think you can top us, you can win 2,000 bucks. All you got to do is sign up, and you can sign up at giddyupflemington.com.au, or you can head to the Triple M Win page for all of the details. You know, revel in the spirit of Melbourne Cup Carnival. October 30th to November 6th, vrc.com.au. You got Victoria Derby Day on the 30th, Melbourne Cups on the 2nd of November. You got these huge race days coming up.
Amazing races.
And if you think you can pick the winners of these races, you can win yourself 2,000 bucks.
Just beat us.
MG, yesterday on the show, we spoke to Josh Alloway.
Yes.
Wants to take on Paul Gallen, wants to jump into the ring. A couple of footballers. Gow, very much a boxer now, but a couple of footballers ready to trade punches. But on the line with us now, we have a legit man whose craft is, it's being recognised on the world stage now in the square circle. Brock Jarvis joins us all the way from the USA after his successful American debut. G'day, Brock.
Hey, guys.
Brocky, that was an experience, mate. Obviously, Alejandro Frias, the frog, in the second round, looked a little bit rocky, but you fought back with an amazing intestinal fortitude to get a TKO in the fifth round. Tell us about the experience, buddy.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable experience just being here for the first time and training. Obviously, I had my first fight here, and yeah, it was great. It was a tough fight. I always knew it was going to be a tough fight, and he caught me in the second round and, you know, had me a bit wobbled there, but sat down in the corner and just regrouped, and I was all good.
Talk us through that, Brock, because when we watched it, everyone was saying, even the commentators, that it looks like Brocky Jarvis has gone here. And they talk about biting down in your mouth guard and just getting on with it. That's what you did. And I tell you now, that was only if you're a really good boxer you can do that. That must have made you have a lot more confidence in your fighting now in America.
Well, I mean, It's the name of the sport, really. I sat down in the corner. I just thought to myself, you know, who wants it most? So I was willing to do anything to win, and you know, got out there and worked hard and worked for the win.
Now, Brock, when you first came into our studio in 2018,
it was a baby.
I would like to know what you've been eating since then, because as I look at these photos of you in the ring, claiming the belt, getting weighed in for these fights. It's fair to say I haven't undergone the same transformation that you've since 2018. The growth, not in your boxing skills, but in your physical physique, it's incredible.
I'm just getting bigger, I guess. I'm on a pretty good diet. I watch what I eat. I'm pretty careful about it all, and always training hard. So I'm just growing.
But that's an interesting question, though, because you're fighting at lightweight now. Is that the career weight? Like, is that where your future lies for the short term and the long term, or are you growing? Is your physique such that you could go up some weights?
Well, I'm looking to campaign here at lightweight for a bit, but look, if I keep getting bigger, I'll keep moving up. I'll just go with what my body wants to do, and I think I will eventually. I think. I don't know what I could end up at, maybe at welterweight, who knows, but at the moment I'm looking to campaign at 135.
Well, Brocky, that gave you 19-0 record, 17 KOs, you've just signed on with Eddie Hearn's Match Room. Things are looking really bright for you. You've got the Marrickville Mauler, Jeffrey Fennick in your corner. What's next for Brock Jarvis?
Yeah, you know, I'm very lucky. I've got a great team behind me. Obviously, Jeff's buried me from the start, and he really believes in me. And now we've just signed with Eddie. It opens a lot of doors for us. And, you know, he's a top bloke. He really is in person. And I think he's got some big goals ahead for us. I just got to keep my head down, you know, keep working hard and just doing what these guys, you know, want me to do.
I mean, you're doing an outstanding job repping not just Australia, but the city of Sydney over there as well.
Yeah.
What's the vibe like on the streets of, you're in LA at the moment. What's the vibe like? Are you walking down as an anonymous on the streets, or are people going, hold on, that's that bloke that just knocked that fella out the other day?
Nah, pretty low key. When we got here, we stayed in Vegas for about 2.5 weeks before the fight. And we did a lot of training there at one of Jeff's, because Jeff's pretty popular around here, and especially in Vegas. But the boxing gym now is very well respected, and so we had plenty of sparring there. The guys are helping me out a lot. And then we went to the fight was actually in Fresno. It's about 4 hours from LA, and it was nice there. We were there for about the week, and you know, a really good experience for me. Really good, just to get my first one out of the way, and you know, I'm really looking forward to what the future holds.
Now, Brock, it's just us talking. Now, it's just you, me, and MG. Nobody else is listening in on this. You're a 23-year-old who's just won his first fight in the US, and you're in Las Vegas, and you've got a bloke by the name of Jeff Fenwick able to open doors for you. Talk to us about the after party. Talk to us about what happened after the fight.
Well, no, actually, he's getting a bit older, Jeff, to be honest. He's slowing down a bit, so we didn't do too much of an after party. We just went out and just, you know, just had a dinner together, and he loves his red wine, so he had a couple, and then he falls asleep, so pretty crazy here.
The Marrickville Mauler has become the Marrickville Snorer.
How fantastic is that? Brocky Jarvis, mate, look, we can't wait to follow your career. We, as Liam mentioned, back in 2018, you came in here as a young fella who was on his way up, and we've been watching your journey go along, buddy, and to see you prevail in Vegas last week, the way you did, bigger and better things are coming your way, my man.
Oh, thanks, MG. Really appreciate it.
Brock Jarvis, all the best. Stay safe, and we can't wait to see what comes next for you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
It's about that time on a Wednesday, MG.
Well, I see you beat me to the punch today. Wow, you are cottoning on to this segment where we get our shirts off because this music makes us jump around.
Well,
if you're at home, you're in the car, pumping the steering wheel, you know it's Power Rankings time. And today, I have a little filter. Me, Liam, and Charlie, our producer, have been talking about having a indoor cricket team. I'm telling the boys how good I was at indoor cricket. And
I've played international cricket.
Yeah, and Charlie's played test match cricket to get the game on the kitchen table. So we're trying to put together a team, and we might even delve into this next year with some listeners.
Ooh,
on a full-time
there's
scale.
There's an idea.
Yeah, once a week we'll play somewhere. So
I like that. Stay well, random shirts
yeah,
in the nets.
100%.
I love it.
So I thought in the interim, out of all the players that have played cricket in the last, say, 20 years, I've picked a team of five who are going to join us.
So you're going to complete our eight-man indoor cricket side, you, me, producer Charlie, and these next five individuals.
Yep, that's it, brother.
Okay, let's
try
get
and,
into
try
it.
Try and beat us.
Five.
Number five, well, he's been so good to us in quarantine over the last couple of weeks, and he's a very handy cricketer. I was going to say Gilly, but he works for the rival station, so I'm going with Brad Haddin.
Hads!
Hads!
Behind the stumps.
Behind the stumps, mate. And a handy opening batsman.
Oh, you can,
I'm going to open the batting. I'm going to open the batting with him.
One concern with Hads.
Yeah.
After his quarantine, he's going to want to be is an indoor cricket centre.
You won't see him for 6 months.
Righto. Okay. I like it though. Hads and a good culture guy too.
Good culture.
Great culture guy. All right.
Four.
This guy.
That's Michael Bevan's ending at the Sydney Cricket Ground.
As you're well aware.
Shot under pressure.
Michael Bevan.
As you are well aware, in indoor cricket, you've got to hit the ball straight for maximum. The back net's four, hit it on the full at six. Well, Michael Bevan is one of the best I've ever seen at hitting the straight ball. And clutch. That was from against West Indies, where he needed a four to win on the last ball.
Had Glenn McGrath down the other end. Wasn't getting much help from his batting partner.
So Michael Bevan's in our team.
Oh, outstanding.
And a left-hander, so he mixes it up a bit.
You've thought, this is a good team you're assembling here.
Three.
Mark Junior War, along with his brother Stephen and the great DK Lilly, my three best players of all time. I love Mark War. He's a mad Bulldogs fan. He loves his races. He's married to Kim War, the horse trainer. So I think we could have some fun. I think we could have some real fun, you know, in and out before the game, while the game's going on, and after the game.
Well, the other thing about indoor cricket is you've got to amuse yourself when you're not batting. And I feel like Junior
would be that guy.
Can entertain and be walking through your tips as well. You're actually putting together a nice little punters club
as well. Oh, we are. That's kind of what
all right.
I'm heading to.
Very good.
Two.
Wild Thing. You make my heart sing. You make everything Groovy, Sean Tate.
Sean Tate.
Sean Tate off the short run. He will terrorise.
You will. We will. Teams will forfeit.
Oh, you'll terrorise.
Teams will forfeit.
Man, I'm 6 foot five almost. I think I've shrunken over the last couple of years, but I'm just about 6 foot four and a half. I met Sean Tate in Adelaide for the Anthony Mundine and
Denny Green
fight, and we partied with him like there was no tomorrow. And he's 6 foot six. He's six. He's taller than me, and he can bowl at 160 k's an hour.
Teams will forfeit.
Well,
if they see Sean Tate,
that's kind of the idea.
That is terrifying. He was terrifying on an open cricket field.
Oh, that big slinging action.
And you don't see it till the last minute.
Yeah. Could have been one of our greatest.
Oh,
but you know what?
I'm excited he's on my team.
But more so, Ken Party.
Ken Party.
Ken Party.
All right. Okay. Well, here we are. This is the Rush Hour's indoor cricket side. Producer Charlie MG and myself all participating.
Yes.
Brad Haddin will be there. Keeping. Michael Bevan will be maximising the runs down the end of the nets. Mark Waugh, not only delivering on the field, but off the field as well. And then the wild thing, Sean Tate, delivering us points via forfeit when people see that he's playing for us. We've arrived at a final team member.
Oh. One. Well, you've got to have the world's best spinner in your team.
Of course. Shane Keith. How good.
No.
Warnie.
No. The great one. The great Stewie McGill.
You bring
number one. And number one, because you don't know what's going to happen after the game's finished. You don't know where we're going to go. You don't know if someone's going to put a pillow over her head. What's going to happen? Are we finishing the game or are we going? Where are we going, Stewie?
We can't talk about McGillivray being kidnapped, the poor bloke.
Well, he can tell us what happened.
Actually, there's...
And the world's best ever spinner.
And let's not forget.
And Kemp spin.
He was a bloody good spinner.
Oh,
a bloody good spin bowler in his day.
He could rip it. So
we don't have a spinner in the team.
Hello. I think we even play this game in Mossman. We take the game to him.
For all the fun. Is that where he is? Or is he in Canterbury?
I don't know.
Where did he get dropped off?
I'm not sure. But
for all the fun that you've got within this team, it's actually a very nicely put together team.
Well, I thought about it.
You have. You put a lot of thought into that.
And I think, McGillar, you're captain too, buddy.
Ooh,
the great
trust
man.
Him with the captaincy.
Yeah. He'll be right. Just
actually, I don't trust the other four with the captain. Oh, Bevan. Michael Bevan strikes me.
Michael Bevan. Yeah, Michael
Bevan
can be captain.
All right, there it is. That is the Rush Hour indoor cricket side.
So me, you and Charlie, Michael Bevan, Mark Waugh, Brad Haddin, Sean Tate, Stuart McGill. What a team.
That's one hell of a team. I like that. We just got to find someone who's prepared to take us on.
Sponsor.
All right, there it is. If you reckon you're up for it, step up to the plate or the crease, whatever it is. Hey, we got to get out of here. Tomorrow, Brent Reed is in. Reedy, we're edging ever closer to that November 1 deadline. I'm fascinated to know what's going on with these Parramatta big names.
Yeah, there's lots to talk about in the world of rugby league, and Reedy's always got his finger on the pulse. But as always, thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.